Welcome to Business Infrastructure, the podcast about curing back office blues of fast-growing businesses. If you're a business owner or operator looking for practical tips and solutions to scaling your business in a sustainable manner, you're in the right place. Now here's your hostess, Alicia Butler-Pierre.
Hello and welcome to the Business Infrastructure Curing Back Office Blues show. I'm your hostess, Alicia Butler-Pierre, and I'm joined today by one of the first people to teach me about social media, Mr. Jim Stroud. Over the past decade, Jim Stroud has built an expertise in sourcing and recruiting strategy, public speaking, lead generation, video production, podcasting, online research, competitive intelligence, online community management, and training. Wow. He has consulted for such companies as Microsoft, Google, Siemens, and Randstad Sourceright. In fact, at Randstad, he served as the global head of sourcing and recruiting strategy, delivering recruitment solutions for clients worldwide. Jim has created and sold 5 online properties, authored 5 HR-related books, and hosted the popular online video series, The Jim Stroud Show. His latest project, The Jim Stroud Podcast, explores the future of work, life, and everything in between. I've personally known Jim, I think, for about 9 or 10 years now. It's been a long time. I know, right? And and look, everybody who's listening, I am a huge fan of Jim's work. He's witty, he's extremely creative, and overall just brilliant. I've followed his career in admiration and awe, and I am absolutely positive you will definitely want to reach out to Jim by the time this interview ends. So let's get right into it, my friend Jim. It's an honor first to have you on the show. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. I think when I have my funeral, I'm gonna call you to have them ask you to do it since you laid me out so well there. Now I feel the pressure to say something worth these people's time.
And you know what? It's not. There's nothing in Jim's bio that I just read that is an exaggeration. It's all true. I mean, you're like a Renaissance man.
Yeah, well, that's $20 I owe you. I appreciate it.
Well, look, before we actually get into the crux of what we're going to talk about today, I actually want to ask you about these 5 online properties that you've sold. What exactly do you mean by that? Are these web-based companies that you had and sold?
Yeah. These were pretty much websites or newsletters that I created and just sort of got popular, and then I sold them. One of them was, let me go through them all. One was called the Jada Pages, which was a fan site that I created for Jada Pinkett Smith, because at the time I wanted to be a screenplay writer. So I figured the best way to get her attention was to create a website of adoration for her, hoping that it would get her attention so that she would want to star in the movie that I wrote. That did not happen. But what did happen is that I found someone who was a bigger fan than I, in that they wanted to buy the site themselves because they loved her so much. Wow. I was like, how much? Sure, okay, yeah, I'll sell it. Because while I am a fan, I wasn't so much of a fan that I would turn down a check. So that's how that sold. I created also a newsletter called The Hidden Job Report, which was a newsletter designed for job seekers. I would write about opportunities before the job descriptions were written and give it to job seekers so that they can pursue those opportunities. And what I mean by that is that, say, for example, Verizon was building a call center in the Atlanta area. And in the newspaper article, I would have read about that particular instance. It would say that Verizon is coming to Atlanta, building a call center. This represents 500 jobs, that kind of thing. So I will put articles like that in the newsletter, and I will tell job seekers, look, these people, Verizon, are building a call center. Why don't you network your way into their business now, because they haven't gotten around to making the job descriptions yet because they just announced this deal. So go ahead and schmooze recruiters and get to know people now, because you know those call center jobs will be opening up pretty soon. So the newsletter was filled of opportunities like that, and I sold that one. The very first property I sold was the Job Seeker's Revenge, which was a career blog. And there I would report on the job market and give career advice, that kind of thing. And that was sold to collegerecruiter.com. Then there was the Recruiter's Lounge, which was an award-winning blog focused on recruiting and the HR industry. And then there was the Searchologist, which was the last property I sold. That was a recruiter training site. I would write articles, post videos about how to do different things in recruiting. And then people would pay a subscription fee to access that information. And that was sold earlier this year. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. So listening to you just reminds me that you're a true testament to the fact that there are so many different ways that you can make money online, yes, especially. So, wow. Thank you for sharing that. That's awesome. I remember the Hidden Job Report.
Okay.
I definitely remember that one. Yeah. But I had no idea about the one regarding Jada Pinkett. So that's very interesting, Jim.
Yeah. Little Jim trivia there for me.
Well, on this show, we're all about business infrastructure, and we talk a lot about people, processes, and tools. And as you know, as companies continue to grow, small businesses included, you have to hire more people. And in hiring more people, that means you have to be able to define the work that needs to be performed. But that's just half the battle, as we all know. In fact, that's just the beginning of the overall process for sourcing and recruiting. So once you've defined what needs to be done, the next logical step is to craft a job description. So I'm wondering if you could first talk us through how to write a well-defined job description, specifically for small businesses. Because I think a lot of times, I know sometimes when I'm working with my clients, they think of things like job descriptions and organizational charts as, oh, that's something that the big guys do. That's for the large corporations, larger enterprises. That doesn't apply to small businesses, but it does. So I'm wondering if you could first give us some pointers and tips for crafting a really good, well-written, succinct job description.
Sure. I will come at it a few ways. What people typically do is that they will research a job description and find a generic template and basically use that. Don't do that because those templates don't always speak to every opportunity. They're just sort of a broad base, which is why it's a template. I would look at someone who is in that role presently for your company and ask them, okay, what have you done in your role? How would you describe your day-to-day activity? Because I will look at it, because you have to look at it from three different angles. One, you have to look at it from the angle of the manager who has certain expectations. You got to look at it from the worker who is actually doing the work. And sometimes those perceptions are different. And then you have to think about, most importantly, I think, of it as a marketing piece. Because in some instances, that might be the first contact someone may have with your business, looking at a job description. So you want to be able to craft it in such a way that you're going to get someone's attention who can do the job, but you're also selling your company and your culture to that person, because even if that person decides not to apply, even if they apply, you don't hire them. If that's their first experience with your company, you want to make it memorable and you want to make it pleasant for them. So I would say, in addition to creating a list of the different duties and things you want them to perform, say it in a way that is human. as opposed to just basic PR speak, you know. Talk like a human being, and that will resonate with that person for sure. So those are things that I would suggest right off there. And then I also would consider to humanize it further is that you do not limit your description to only text in a job description. I'll give you a couple examples of some things I've done in the past that work really well.
Okay.
So one thing I did when I was at Microsoft, we had this role called an escalation engineer, which was a glorified tech support role. But the hiring manager, they wanted someone who was a very experienced developer to do it. And so when we would recruit developers for that role, and we would tell them basically what they would do, of course, they would read the job description. But they would accept the role only to get into Microsoft and go on to other things. And so it was a constant revolving door on getting someone there. So what I did was I found someone in the company who was already doing that position. And I interviewed them over the phone, recorded it, made it a podcast, put a little music before and after it and that kind of thing. And then I posted it on the company blog. And so when the job description went out on Monster and other places, there would be a link inside that job description for more information. Click here and listen to a hiring manager or listen to somebody in the role describe a day in their life. So people would scan in the job description, you know, which is something you got to take into account too, because a lot of people don't really read the job description. They just sort of scan the title and then start applying. A lot of people do. But a lot of people were very curious as to what was on that podcast. So they would go to the podcast and they would spend the 6 minutes, I think it was, listening to that person describe a day in their life, and they were fascinated. And so those people started applying. And what we noticed is that the revolving door stopped revolving so much because people actually heard what was going on at the job from somebody in that space, and it resonated with them. And so they applied. Not only did they apply when they got the job, they stayed there because they knew exactly what was going on with the job from beginning, which is something you can't always get from a job description, no matter how well you may craft that. A second example, which also worked really well, which also involved social media, was that when I was on Microsoft's international recruiting team, we were trying to recruit literally software developers from all over the world. And we were competing with everybody else in the world who wanted software developers. Mm-hmm. So one way is to stand out and get people to read our job descriptions and get more intrigued about what's it like to work at Microsoft. I went to one of our facilities and I used a flip camera, which sort of dates me a little bit. Flip camera was a sort of a white camera. I don't know if you remember it. Mm-hmm. And you're probably too young to remember it.
No, I do remember that. Thank you very much. I remember that.
But I walked around the facility with a flip camera, and I asked people, okay, what do you like about working here in 30 seconds or less? Go. And they will say, it's great, it's wonderful, whatever, right? You could tell that they were not actors. You can tell that they genuinely liked working there. They weren't shy about explaining the type of things they do on the job, you know, the type of projects they do, not giving away anything proprietary or anything like that, but just sort of explaining a day in their life that way. Mm-hmm. Put that video together, posted it on YouTube and a few other places. And when I would try to recruit someone, I would send them a link to the video and they could see a short video of what's it like to work there. When people would get a job description, they would see in the job description, hey, check out our video to learn what's it like to work here in Microsoft. And it worked really, really well. And then a happy accident happened, an accident that's still paying off today. When people would do research on Google or Bing or whatever search engine, they would do a search on working at Microsoft in Vancouver or life at Microsoft or what have you. Different search terms they use would bring up the video that I produced in the search results. Mm. And if you're at a computer now, and anyone who's listening, you may want to do this as well. Go over to Google and type in Microsoft Canada Development Center. Microsoft Canada Development Center. And you'll see in the search results a thumbnail for a video. That video is mine. If you click on it, you'll see my face. Apologies for that. But you'll see me being the roving reporter on the Microsoft campus asking people about the job. Now, it's me interviewing people, so I guess you could sort of say I'm selling the company culture, but really it's really just a glorified job description, because everyone is talking about what they like about working at the company and the work that they do. So when you do a search for Microsoft Canada Development Center on Google, it shows up page one in the results. Not only is it page one in the results on Google, it's also page one on Bing, Yahoo, AOL, Search, and Ask, which are the top five search engines. As of a few months ago anyway. And the good thing about that is that video was posted originally in 2008, 10 years later, when people are researching what they like to work at Microsoft, that video pops up. Now, to give the people listening a bit of imagination, imagine if you are trying to hire for X, and you know that you're always hiring for X because maybe you're in a retail space or your call center space or, you know, good help is always hard to find space. I don't know. So you could create a video explaining what's it like to work for your company and the things you're trying to accomplish, you know, share the mission that you're on, that kind of thing. Post a video and you very well could be attracting talent to you for a decade. And this is the best part, for free. Because everything that I just explained did not cost anything at all. The flip camera, I guess you can consider that a cost, was $60, but I got that as a free gift. The software that I used to edit that video was Windows Movie Maker, which came with my computer. If I were doing that today, I would use my iPhone, and I probably would use iMovie, which comes free with the Mac, or I would maybe use some other software to edit the video. But long story short, it does not cost a lot of money, if at all. And once it's up there, it's the gift that keeps on giving. So if you have a lot of different roles, if you're a small business, maybe you don't have a lot of roles, so you can make a video job description for all of your stuff, put it up there, and let it work for you for at least a decade for free.
I love this idea, and thank you so much for bringing this back to those who may be solopreneurs, and they're looking mm-hmm. They're starting to staff for the first time. Or mm-hmm. even those who may have a few people working for them, but again, they're trying to add. They realize the need to delegate even more of what they're doing to new hires. So thank you so much for bringing that up. And I just sure. think that's so clever. Now, when someone creates this video job description, where do you suggest they store this? On their website or on YouTube? What do you recommend?
Yeah. I will put it on YouTube because YouTube is free. One theme that you'll hear from me constantly is free, using mm-hmm. free tools or very inexpensive tools.
We like don't free.
Spend, yeah, yeah. Don't spend money when you don't have to. I definitely have that mindset. So you can post it on YouTube for free. That's certainly good. And there are other video hosting sites out there as well. So do a bit of research. I like Vimeo. I like Daily Motion as well. Those are tools that I would use. I also like a site called Brighteon, which is Brighteon, Brighteon, .com. That's also a YouTube competitor that you can post videos for free. So I would definitely post it to those different places because one video might rank high on one search engine and the other one might not. So, you know, hedge your bets. You know, once you make your video, post it on as many free video sites as possible. You also want to make sure that you give it a good title, being defined as something people would search for. So let's say your role is customer service agent or something like that. Mm-hmm. Go to Google, type in customer service agent, scroll down to the bottom, and you'll see other related searches, and you'll be able to see other searches that people are doing in relation to customer service agent, and that'll give you some ideas. As you'll probably notice, as you start to type in customer service agent, Google will give you suggestions based on what it thinks you're searching for. Those suggestions are based on how other people are searching. So if you start typing customer service agent and Google gives you suggestions, then try to create a title based on the suggestions that Google is giving you, because they're giving you a big hint saying this is how people are searching around those particular keywords. And let that be a way of creating a title And not only using those keywords in the title, but also using those keywords in the description of your video as well, because that'll help your video rank. Okay. And also add those key terms to the tags that you put on YouTube as well, because once you put the title in and description, then you have different tags you can put in as well. So one tag might be customer service agent or customer service jobs or what have you, you know? And then also what you may want to do too, even before you start thinking of the video, go over to Google, go over to Yahoo, go over to Bing. Just do a search for different types of jobs that you want to write these video job descriptions for. If you don't see a video, that's a green light. That means you're not competing with anybody for optimization for a video in that particular search.
Hmm.
Yeah. Also, yeah, and also what you may want to consider too, as far as when you're posting your job, and this is just sort of a something I haven't seen that I think I would like to see in job descriptions that I think make a lot of sense. Something of a hint towards next steps in the career progression. You know, so someone is a junior level X, you give the description there, and then somewhere in the job description, you can say, if you achieve your goals within a certain amount of time, it's not inconceivable that you'd be a senior level X in 3 years or something like that, you know. No guarantees, you know, I don't know how you would word that, but no guarantees, but at least you give the person some idea as to what the next step is once they've been hired for this particular role, you know?
I think that's
Go ahead.
I was just going to say really quickly, I think that's really smart, and it reminds me of a conversation that I had with someone just yesterday, literally, and we were talking about the fact that she wants to start hiring more account managers. And I said, you know, one of the things, especially when people who may be accustomed to working in larger companies, one thing that we can use to our advantage as smaller businesses is to let people know what the path, the promotional path looks like. So I think that's, I really like the fact that you agree that this is something that should be included in a job description.
Right. It's a job seeker's market right now. So you want to retain your talent as much as possible or get people who at least have a mindset to wanting to stay with you for a while. So that'll help you with that. Something else that I would want to see in a job description too is things that will knock you out of consideration, which I don't normally see. Well, it depends on the job. Like some job descriptions will say, you must be able to drive. So if you don't have a vehicle, that they give you a signal that if you don't have a car, then, you know, don't even think about it because that's going to knock you out of the running. If you could tactfully say some kind of way, these are things that we are looking for, and candidates that don't have A, B, and C will, I won't say not be considered, but will not be as considered as strongly as others or something like that. Some kind of way to word it, let them know. That this is what you're looking for and this is what you're not looking for. And I think that would just save people time back and forth, you know?
I completely agree.
Yeah.
I completely agree.
I want to know what you want. I want to know what you don't want because my time is just as valuable as yours.
Absolutely. Wow, this was a lot. And that's why everybody who's listening, it's like, you know, that's why you definitely want to make sure you download this episode. Wow, that in and of itself was very powerful, very impactful. Thank you, Jim. It's always been clear to me that you're very good at figuring out the workflow or a process, and from there determining how to leverage different technologies to streamline and automate that workflow or process. So we've talked about figuring out the work that needs to be done and delegated. From there, crafting a really good job description, maybe even doing a video job description. The next step, I would think, if we're talking about a process for getting recruiting people, I would think a next step would be to then post that job. And so you were already talking about different ways to do that if you have produced a video. But if we focus specifically on LinkedIn, because LinkedIn is such a dynamic business networking tool, social media tool, what can you kind of talk us through what that process looks like for a small business owner/entrepreneur who is, may even be trying to do this for the very first time, or may not even realize that this is something that small business owners can actually utilize as a tool to source and recruit talent. So can you walk us through what that process might look like? So everything from actually posting the job to actually, I don't know, kind of sorting through, I'm sure it would be potentially hundreds, maybe even thousands of resumes that you may receive. Can you talk us through that?
Sure. There are different ways to go about it. So it's not one set in stone way. I'll mention a couple things that I've seen I thought were really cool.
Okay.
For hiring through LinkedIn. One is something that Unilever has done. And I've been quoting their case study for a while because I think it's just fascinating. It sort of touches on LinkedIn in the beginning, but then it goes off into a totally different direction. But I'll go ahead and mention it right off. So Unilever, they are hiring for whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And so they will post the job, they'll post notice of the position on LinkedIn. But when you look at the position itself, it'll give you sort of a broad description of it and then invite you to click a link to play an online game. Once you click that link to play that online game, the online game is screening you, is testing your problem-solving skills, is testing your patience, your emotional intelligence, and other attributes that are crucial to the job. And as you play that game, which doesn't take long, probably like 10 or 12 minutes, you will get a certain score. Unilever will then look at people who have scored the highest and take the upper percentage of those people who scored the highest and send them another link and say, hey, congratulations, you're among the high scorers of these games. We would like to invite you to interview. Click this link. And when you click that link, you're going to an app called HireVue. Now, HireVue is an online video interviewing apparatus. So I would click the link and on my laptop, look at the camera, and answer questions as if I was talking to a person. Either I'm looking at my laptop or my phone or my iPad. Essentially, I'm looking at a camera and answering questions. As I'm answering the questions, the camera software is evaluating my responses with artificial intelligence and giving a grade around that as well. And so then the Unilever would then look at the scores from the online game, look at the scores from HireVue, and then say, okay, from these people who are high scores, let me invite them over to the office so that I can evaluate them further. And when they come to the office before the end of the day or the conclusion of the meeting, an offer is extended or not. Unilever used that process over the course of a year to hire 450 people.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. So it started off with LinkedIn, but LinkedIn was just sort of like the hook that get them into the process of the online game. And the online game is a company called Pymetrics, for anyone who's curious. It's P-Y-M-E-T-R-I-C-S, Pymetrics. And the video interviewing app is called HireVue, H-I-R-E-V-U-E, HireVue.
Can I ask a really quick question, Jim?
Please.
Pymetrics and HireVue, are these apps, about how much do these tools cost?
Good question. I don't have a good answer.
Okay. That's okay.
I haven't been on that side. In a previous life, I experimented with HireVue. Actually, the last role that I was in, when I joined Randstad, that's how they did it with me. It was a HireVue interview. And it was an interesting experience, I must say.
I'm sure. You know,
it was my first time being interviewed that way, and it felt a little weird. But, you know, at least in my case, it worked. So there you go. I don't know.
Okay.
Very interesting. Yeah.
So that's a way, what you've just described with the Unilever sort of case study, is a way to significantly streamline and automate that entire, from the moment you've posted the job to sort of sorting through the candidates that you really do want to talk to. Because one of the things that I hear from a lot of different people who post jobs on LinkedIn, just as an example, is the volume of applicants that come their way.
Sure.
And so, you know, the great thing is, you know, I'm assuming that oftentimes they're able to post things on LinkedIn for free. And so, yes, you can do it for free, but then you may receive 10,000 resumes.
Sure.
And
let
so,
me give you a, let
okay.
me give you a shortcut, another
okay.
free shortcut, because you know
yes,
I'm big on
yes.
free. Yes, okay. So let's say you're hiring data scientists, right, for your business, right?
Okay.
And LinkedIn has a lot of different groups, which specialize in different niches. You know, you got data scientists group or florist group, whatever, right? So find some LinkedIn groups that speak to the type of talent that you want to hire, and then figure out a really, really tough question. I'm gonna make one up. So let's say I'm looking for a data, super software person. I go to a software group and I say, hey guys, question. What's the difference between a QRX21 and a KXJ2? Right? Then you post that question, right? And then somebody, some smart aleck, going to say, well, the KRJS2 is this, blah, 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 and it's better than the QX1, you know, whatever. And so when they answer the question, you say, you can answer that tricky question, and you're somebody I want to hire. Can we talk about an opportunity? You know, post really interesting questions or detailed technical questions that will spark people who have a passion for that to respond. And when they respond, you start a conversation up with them and try to recruit them.
Hmm.
That way you get somebody who knows what they're doing and who also has a passion for whatever it is you're looking for free.
I love it. I love it.
Another free thing you could do is a bit of a long game, but it is a content play. And what I mean by that, let's say you are in the healthcare space. So on your LinkedIn, you are posting articles all the time about the latest and greatest trends in healthcare. And people are reading your posts that you send out on LinkedIn that you're sharing, and they'll give it a like, or they'll leave a comment. If they give it a like or leave a comment, you can see who it was who liked or commented that share. Check out their profile. You now have an excuse to write them and say, hey, I appreciate you liking what I posted on LinkedIn. I see from your profile that you are, you know, Dr. House MD, and I would like to talk to you about a job here at the hospital, that kind of thing. You just, it's another way of putting bait out for other people to respond. If you want to take it an even a step further, then you can use a tool. You can use two tools. Now, there are free versions of these tools, but these are tools that I would recommend you pay for because they're good and they're not that expensive. Okay, so this is a process I would use to bait people into applying for a job for me. Right? People that I think that would be pretty good. And it is much cheaper than posting a bunch of jobs. So first thing I would do is I would go to a site called BuzzSumo. That's BuzzSumo, BuzzSumo.com.
Okay.
Now, what BuzzSumo does is a site that shows you the most popular articles in relation to a keyword. So let's say I put in the word hacking. It's going to bring back the most popular articles over the past year, past 6 months, past day, past week that had the term hacking in the keyword of the hacking keyword in the title of whatever was shared. It'll show you the most popular article for hacking on Facebook, on LinkedIn, Twitter, a few other places as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would use that to find the most popular articles about hacking, right? And then I also would go to a site called SnipURL. That's SnipURL.com, SnipURL. And what SnipURL does, sort of like Bitly, if you're familiar with Bitly.
Yes.
You put in the long URL and it shortens to a small URL. But it does something a bit more. If you sign into SnipURL with your Twitter account, it'll use your Twitter picture in its display. And then what I mean by that is when I shorten the link with SnipRL, a link that I would have gotten from BuzzSumo, and then I share that link on LinkedIn, when somebody clicks that link that I just shared on LinkedIn, then at the bottom of the page, well, it'll go to the article that I'm sharing. Hopefully I'm making sense here. It'll share the, you click the link and it'll go to the article that I want to share. At the bottom of the article will be my picture that was from Twitter. And then it'll be a thought bubble that says, hey, if you're reading this, you must be in the cybersecurity, I'm hiring. Click here to go to my website, right? Mm. So, yeah, I'll say it again because I think I rambled out one more time. Go to BuzzSumo, find really interesting articles, the most popular articles online. Get the URL from those articles. Go over to SnipRL and shorten that article. And once you sign in the SnipRL with your Twitter account or whatever account, you can then create a call to action, which is click here to go to my site. And then you can also put in a message like, I'm hiring cybersecurity folks. And so then when you share those links created by SnipRL, when people click on them, they will see these articles and they'll see your advertising at the bottom of the screen. The good thing about that is that people would share, as they share the information that you've posted and shared on LinkedIn, not only will you reach that particular person, but you'll also reach people in their network as well. Now, SnipRL isn't free. I think it's $10 a month or something like that. I forget.
Okay.
And BuzzSumo is, I think, $30 a month, something like that. So it's not very expensive, but it's not free, but it's worth it. It's something that I would invest in if I was going to do this to promote a particular business. I've used it in the past and it worked really, really well. So
this is yeah. Awesome. I mean, I'm biz steadily taking copious notes. Now with, so once you have found potential candidates, obviously a next step would be to actually interview them. Do you have any, well, you did share some of these apps that, such as HireVue, that actually helps to streamline and automate even the interviewing process even more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are there any other tools that you can think of
that might use for interviewing?
To use for interviewing, correct. So I know, like, you could even use something like Zoom or Skype, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. For face-to-face.
Face-to-face mm-hmm. interviewing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would do that. There are other tools out there. HireVue is one that comes to mind because that's what Unilever used. And not only Unilever, there are other companies. And I remember this because I was just talking about this in check at the last conference I was speaking at. Let's see. Goldman Sachs uses this process that I mentioned before.
Okay.
Jet.com uses it. And Lipton Tea uses it. The people that they tend to recruit for that are the high volume roles, in case anyone is curious. Mm. So if you're hiring for a call center or retail or maybe seasonal worker or something like that, this is awesome for that because it is good for hiring a huge volume of folks. If you're trying to recruit purple squirrels, as I call them, these candidates that are really hard to find and connect with and in such super high demand, then you probably don't want to use a system like this. You want to pick up the phone and make that connection and talk to them. So just FYI. In that
Great
regard.
Point. Very good point.
Yeah. Well, one wow. other thing too, one
yes,
other thing too,
please.
I would add to that process. After you've found the article in BuzzSumo, after you have shortened the article URL with Snip URL, and after you shared it on LinkedIn, making it available to your network and people to share it, to take it a step further, and this is another tool that you can use for free, but there's also a pay component to it, and I use the pay component to it. It's called Buffer, and okay. You can find it by going to Buffer, BufferApp.com, BufferApp.com.
Okay.
And anyone who follows me on Twitter or LinkedIn will know that I tweet a lot, I share a lot of information, right? And so if you're looking at that, you're thinking, man, Jim is online sharing stuff all the time. When does he actually do any work? Well, the open secret, and I tell people this all the time, but the open secret is that I probably spend maybe an hour, maybe two, finding information to share across my networks while I'm watching TV. And what I do is I'll find an interesting article, and then I'll load that into Buffer, and I'll say, Buffer, I want you to post this out at 8 o'clock. This next thing, I want you to post it out at 9 o'clock. This next thing at 10 o'clock. So I will find 8 or 10 or 12 different articles between commercials while I'm watching whatever show. And then the next day is posting on Twitter, on LinkedIn, on Pinterest, and other places throughout the day. So it gives the illusion that I'm always online. The good thing about that is you may want to post things over the weekend, but you don't want to necessarily post it on the weekend and focus on it because you're enjoying your weekend or you're doing something else. Well, with Buffer, you can set up on a schedule. And a lot of people are online during the week, but they're even more, it seems like, on the weekend. So a lot of things I post on Saturday and Sunday, I probably would have put together on Thursday or Friday just because I want it to be covered. And so you can do that. And when you go this way, the process I want to suggest is you use the 80-20 rule. 8 things you post should be of interest to your audience, things that would interest the people you want to recruit or things about your industry or what have you. And then 2 out of those 10 would be about you hiring someone or about your company specifically. In that way, as you share 8 out of 10 things that would interest them regardless, they won't unsubscribe. They'll still pay attention to you. So when you slip in 2, they'll say, oh, okay, he's trying to sell me something or trying to interest me in this company. That's 2 things, but these 8 other things are awesome. I don't mind that he's also upselling me these 2 other things. So I'm not going to unsubscribe. I'm still going to stay a follower. So 8 out of 10 things should be just altruistic. You're sharing industry news. You're saying what's cool. Then 2 things out of the 10 should be about you or your company, what you're hiring for, that kind of thing.
I really like that approach because it seems like just across the board, regardless of what platform, your social media platform you're using, it's just good etiquette. Because there are some people where they only post things about themselves or things about their company, but never actually share valuable, what I consider to be valuable information. So,
and I think too, I'm glad you said that, because I think too, and this comes to mind only because I've seen it so many times myself. A lot of times people will just try to link to everyone, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. But then the first contact they give to someone that they just met through LinkedIn is give me something now. And it's like, I don't know you. So people will have reached out to me and say, Jim, would you mind recommending me for this job at Randstad? And I'm like, look, I'm a nice guy and all, but I don't know you. How do I know you're not going to embarrass me?
Right.
You know, you might be crazy. I don't know you. You know, so I'll give them some advice or do something. But I don't always recommend. I make it a rule not to just blindly recommend someone for a job and I don't even know you. You know, so. Yeah. And that same philosophy goes towards doing business with somebody. If I want to do business with you, Alicia, and I don't know you, it would be a disservice to myself to say, hey, Alicia, buy this. I know we just connected on LinkedIn 5 minutes ago. I want you to buy something, especially if it's a high-end product.
Right.
And you're going to be like, spammer.
You know, exactly.
And you're going to go. So, yes. I mean, people should approach people for the first time with a gift of some sort. You know, maybe it's an idea. Like, hey, I saw you a profile on LinkedIn. I see you're into this, that, and the other. Or better yet, say, I see you're a veterinarian by your LinkedIn profile. I just happened to look and I saw that the animalwhisperer.com is free. I mean, it's available on GoDaddy. Maybe you might want to consider buying that domain to help your business. Boom. Just a suggestion. Doesn't cost anything, right? Just an idea. Or you might say, hey, I looked at your LinkedIn profile and I see that you operate in the Atlanta area. Do you happen to know John Doe? He's also in the area and he does a lot of work with veterinarians. Can I introduce you? Mm-hmm. Boom, that's another gift. Or you can say, hey, did you know that there is a programming language based on The Simpsons. And I see that you're a software developer, so I'm sharing you a link with this programming language based on The Simpsons. You might think it's funny, or you might, you know, it might be amusing to you, just sharing it with you. By the way, I'm Jim, and I do this, that, and the other. Let's stand. I'm reaching out because I thought you were interesting. So the first time I'm contacting somebody, I'm not selling them something. I'm just, you know, giving a gift, catching their eye, starting a conversation. Then I'm going to follow up later with something else, you know, maybe a veiled sales pitch or something, to see how they react, you know.
That's a, No. I think that's great, because it's, you're selling, but it's not a hard sell. You're actually right. Making it a point to add value and showing and demonstrating that you are in a position to add value to that person that you're communicating with.
Yeah. And one thing too, if you can figure, if you have their personal email, I mean, an email address for them. Mm-hmm. One thing that I've picked up from recruiting is that you can send someone a job description or reach out to them. And then you're like, you never know if they have an interest because they don't reply. You don't know if they say, is the email right? Because I sent this email to them and they didn't reply. So did they not get the email? Or does it mean that they're not interested? I'm sort of lost, right? So yeah. One tool that I use to sort of give me a good idea of that, it's a tool called MailTrack. And you can go to it by mail, MailTrack.io, MailTrack.io. What that does is you connect it to your Gmail. So you got to have a Gmail for this to work for you.
Okay.
And you will send an email out to someone. So let's say I send you a job description. And so you open it up at 11 o'clock, but you don't respond. And then you open it up again twice at 6 and then again at 8 o'clock. So that lets me know as a recruiter, okay, she looked at the job when she was at the office maybe. But she didn't want to sit there at the office and look at it. But she's obviously interested because she opened it up two more times that same day. So knowing that, I know that you're more of a hotter prospect for me recruiting-wise because you've looked at that same email three times, and I know you have because I see it in my statistics with MailTrack. Now, you don't know that I have those stats on you opening up that email. As far as you know, the email is just like any other email. But I'm able to see from my end that you've actually opened it up three times. That's a free tool, although you can pay for premium parts of that. I love that tool. I highly recommend it.
It sounds great. It also sounds a little creepy, kind of on the creepy side, Jim. But, you know.
I
always tell my mother this because she's always talking about being tracked and monitored and followed. And I said, you know, the minute you get online, all bets are off when it comes to privacy. Sure. Like, you just have to accept that, unfortunately. So now hearing you talk about MailTrack.io, it's like, okay.
Well, you know what? There is that factor to it too. But from looking, thinking from a entrepreneur mindset.
Yes.
If I know I've sent you an email and you open it up three times, then that tells me you are a hot prospect. So my emailing you and following up on you is not going to be considered spammy as much as someone else who I sent it to, who I know received it and did not respond. Maybe they open it one time and then they deleted it or whatever. And I said, okay, well, I'm not going to waste my time with someone who I know received the email and did not do anything. I'm going to spend time with the people who read the email two or three times because they obviously have some sort of interest. So it's a time saver for me. It's a time saver. And it's also not as intrusive because I know that you read it three times. So you must have an interest in some, for some reason. So is that aspect too.
Yeah, and you're right. You're absolutely right. Because even on LinkedIn, you know how sometimes, well, not sometimes, but you are able to actually see who's viewed your profile. And sometimes I'll notice that a person may actually look at my profile several times within a week. And I'm like, okay, well, clearly this person wants to reach out to me, but for whatever reason, they may be hesitant. But so I agree with you. It does. I can see how it enables you and empowers you to know who for sure is definitely interested in whatever it is that you have to offer. So sure, I get it, but you know, like I said, it is still a little, little unnerving, Jim.
I get it.
You've actually answered all of the additional questions that I had. This is great. In closing, how can people get in touch with you? Because we have a global audience. So for those who are not necessarily here locally in the Atlanta, Georgia area, what's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
Oh, that's an easy one. Just go to www.jimstroud.com, JimStroud.com. And there you'll see my podcasts, my articles, books, and everything you want to know and didn't want to know. You'll find it at JimStroud.com.
Okay, now does this also include a link to your, I think, the online video series, The Jim Stroud Show?
Yes, when you go to JimStroud.com, on the left-hand side, you'll see links like career highlights, Jim Stroud podcast, The Jim Stroud Show, video of my public speaking gigs, books I've written, other things. So it's all on the blog. You'll see it all there.
Okay, awesome, awesome. And I'll be
subscribe,
sure.
Subscribe often.
Yes, yes. Please subscribe. Well, Jim, thank you so much for being on the show today. When I first reached out to Jim and we were talking about what topic we should do, at first I mentioned social media just very broadly. And then I thought about it. I said, wait a minute, Jim is always so full of information that topic alone, being that broad and that generic, could easily be a 3 or 4 hour conversation minimum. So we tried to narrow it down to LinkedIn. But let me know, those of you who are listening, if you are interested in learning about even more of these tools. And maybe we can get Jim on here again and talk through some of the tools that he talked about today. And I'm sure there are several others that Jim has in store. So Jim, again, thank you so much for being on the show today. This was awesome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And as a reminder, everyone, business infrastructure is about linking people, processes, and tools to your goals in a profitable, scalable, and sustainable way. Wow, Jim shared some great information with us today about sourcing top talent for your small business using LinkedIn. Normally, Jim, I attempt to recap what a guest says, but there was so much. So I'm going to focus on just recapping some of the different tools that you mentioned. So you mentioned Pymetrics, HireVue, BuzzSumo, for video purposes, YouTube, Dailymotion, Brighteon, Vimeo. You also mentioned another tool called SnipEarl. There's Buffer App and MailTrack.io. If any of this resonates with you and you want to learn more, definitely reach out to Jim. Again, his website is www.jimstroud.com. That's J-I-M like money, S-T like Tom, R-O-U-D.com. Don't forget about our website, businessinfrastructure.tv. Here you'll be able to not only listen to this episode, but you can also get access to all of the information that Jim referenced in the show notes. You'll also be able to subscribe, download, and comment on this episode as well as others. And I can guarantee you, there's so much information packed in today's episode, you're definitely going to want to download it. There's also a link to my book, which is called Behind the Facade: How to Structure Company Operations for Sustainable Success. Here you can learn more about business infrastructure and how to actually apply it to your company. Again, all of this information is available at businessinfrastructure.tv. Thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, stay focused, be encouraged. This entrepreneurial journey is a marathon and not a sprint. Until the next time.
Thank you for listening to Business Infrastructure, the podcast about curing back office blues with Alicia Butler-Pierre. If you like what you've heard, do us a favor and subscribe, leave a rating and review, and more importantly, share with your colleagues and team members who could benefit from the information. Join us next week for another episode of Business Infrastructure with Alicia Butler-Pierre.